be nice to people, Christian people, and you're not going to be just nice to people who are nice to you. You're going to be nice to everybody. In fact, if somebody bumps you and you let it show that you're fleshly, you're going to say, you know what, I'm sorry. You're going to say it now because you want to be like Jesus. You don't want anything to mess up the image. That's the perfection God's looking for in your life. Start being gracious. Start being nice. I thought we ought to put a sign out front once in a while. Just be nice. But don't just be nice for being nice sake, because that gets testimony for you. You're going to be nice for Jesus' sake. And if you mess up, you're going to see that as God saying, you messed up, you showed yourself, and when you apologize, you're not just going to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have snapped at you. You're going to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have snapped at you, man. I really don't want you to think of that when you think of my salvation and God and Christ, because I want to represent Him well. You're going to let it be a platform. Think about that for a minute. It works. I remember when I first got out of high school and they had a party, and I'd been walking with the Lord for a little over a year, a little under a year, actually, and it was my high school graduation, and they gave a party, and there was a drinking party, and I thought, well, I'll go to this drinking party where nobody knows me. Now, I walked with the Lord for about 7 months. I didn't have anybody taking me by the side and saying, hey, Dave, here's how it's doing. No accountability partner, no lover of my soul, nobody chasing me. I was kind of left to my own devices, and I snuck around, and I went to this party. And I was no sooner there sitting with a beer in my hand, as a child of the king who had made a public profession to my entire school, that I was a Christian, I got a beer in my hand. I'm sitting there, and a buddy of mine who I've been witnessing to of recent days came in, sat down across from me, Dave, it's you. Well, if you've got a beer, I'm getting you one too. And he jumped right up, and he went and got a beer. Well, I'm freaking out now like a pinball in a pinball machine, and I'm running around thinking, where can I go? What can I do? I got to get out of the limelight. And I ran into another girl, and that girl said, Dave, welcome back. And she was one of the old crowd. Well, I'm feeling devastated now, and I'm in for a penny. I'm in for a pound, so now I'm really out of whack. But when God got my senses to me the next day, I had to go to that girl's house, and I knocked on her door, and I wept before a girl as a teenager, 17 years old, wept. Because God was breaking my heart, and I said, I just don't want you to ever think about this when you think about salvation, because that's not what He's about. I loved you, I missed you, and I messed up, and I'm sorry. But don't hold that against Him. Beloved, we are on call for Jesus, ambassadors at large, and the passage tells us that we are to realize that God is the one who creates this belief and this understanding. It's all about Jesus, not about my performance. Verse 3 says, and this we will do, meaning going on to perfection, if God allows us. And it says, for it is impossible. Very important. The word impossible means there's no strength in these words. And it says, it is impossible. Two things that are impossible, or actually three things are mentioned, but one thing is impossible. What are the two things, the three things that are mentioned? Well, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. That's passive. God does the enlightening of your heart. It is impossible for those who are enlightened and those who were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. See it. Passive tense. God is the one who makes us partakers. What's the third thing in the equation that makes this impossible? And if we should fall away. Now, that's something we're doing, but all three of these are participles, which means they're ongoing behaviors. God was the one who illuminated. God was the one who made us partakers of the Holy Spirit, which we're sealed with. And then it says, if they should fall away. And the word if isn't if. It's the word tie in Greek, meaning and. And. It's the third thing in the equation. It's impossible for this to happen. For these things to be in place, and for this to happen, actually, and for them to renew them. Now, some people think this means you can lose your salvation. Well, if they believe that, then they have to also believe they can never have it again, because the impossible is, it's impossible to renew them under repentance. If you think you can lose your salvation, then if you've ever lost it, which I would have lost it probably at that party, right? I mean, I went back to the old life. It was impossible. It is impossible! Whatever he's saying is impossible. It is impossible, because it's God's word. And the reason he says it is in verse 4. He says, for it is impossible. He's saying, we will go on unto perfection, loving God like we should, if God permits, listen closely, for it is impossible for what I'm going to say right now to happen. See, it's connected with, we're going to go on unto perfection. What's impossible? It's impossible for God to have enlightened you and to have sealed you and for you to really fall away. Listen to me. It is impossible for you to be enlightened by God. It is impossible for you to have been made a partaker of the Holy Spirit and for you to fall away. Think about that for a minute. That's impossible. success. Why? Because God never fails. And God doesn't give His Holy Spirit and take Him back. The Bible says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And He says it's impossible for this to happen. Now, why am I saying this? Because we need to understand that the battle is won. And even though you may feel defeated today, God, if you have been saved, born again, child of God, you will never be lost. And when you understand that, it will give you strength for your heart. And the reason He's going to leave all those other principles behind and not dwell on them is because He doesn't think they need to go back and get saved. Because it's impossible for somebody to be illuminated, possible for somebody to get the Holy Spirit. And He says, brethren, we are persuaded you've gotten that. That's what He says later in the passage. He says, this is impossible. It's like this. Here's a way to put it down in the real world where we live. You can't take two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen and just those three things. You can't just take those three molecules and get gasoline. And He says you can't take God illuminating, God imputing to you, making you a partaker of the Holy Spirit, and falling away. You can't do that. It can't happen. It's impossible. Now, does that mean you're going to behave right all the time? No. They weren't behaving right. The Hebrews weren't behaving right. They were beginning to bail on God because they thought He wasn't from the tribe of Levi. What am I saying? I'm trying to point out to you and me this morning that if you are down, you are not out. And I'm trying to say it loud enough so that every doubt in the back of your heart, the devil will be sent to the door with. Packing. Because you and I are God's children. And as God's children, we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus. And we can do something amazing for God. So we need to not live on the lowland, the earthbound level. We need to realize that it is impossible for you and I to have been given God's provision and blessing and completely fall away. It is impossible. Now, this passage would haunt some people who don't know their Bibles. But this morning, I'm trying to diffuse the things the devil says by going to the hardest place in your scriptures that talk to you about losing your salvation. And the Bible says what? Say it with me. It is impossible. Beloved, if God has given you the Spirit, you truly have been born again. And He says this. He says, it's impossible. Why? Because there is no way for them to renew those things under repentance. They can't do it. Because once you know something, you can't unknow it. Once God has given you the Spirit, once He's told you 2 plus 2 equals 4, it will always be true in your mind. I can't convince you 2 plus 2 does not equal 4. And if you here's the thing. Here's the underpinning. All those primary doctrines, all those principles underneath, the underpinning of it all. If you understand who Jesus is, and you understand what Jesus did, then nobody can talk you out of it. Beloved, I have a real problem with people who think they can lose their salvation because they really don't understand the gospel. Everything this Bible says is about God's rescue mission. It's all about it. The Bible is all about God rescuing us. It's not about us rescuing ourselves. He shows us over and over again. He shows us Peter out there denying Jesus. 3 times. He shows us all kinds of the idiosyncrasies. He shows us David in the Old Testament committing adultery and murder. And we just kind of gloss over that and say, well, he was a man after God's own heart. God must know what he's doing. We just think, I don't want to get my mind around it. Live there for a minute. Stay there for a minute. What did he do? He messed up in the most huge way you could possibly mess up, and he found forgiveness. How? Because he saw beyond the sacrifice. He saw the God behind the sacrifice who was all about saving us. Now, beloved, when you mess up and you're in the toilet, you're feeling like a miserable person and a wretch, you are. But that doesn't make you any less a saint because you were never a saint because you weren't messing up. Not messing up is not what made you a saint in the first place. Because if it was, this whole passage, if this is to be understood that you can lose your salvation, every one of us here this morning has lost it. Because we've all fallen away by our definition at one time or another. And if it's impossible to renew them again, then we're all done. What about a 18, 17-year-old kid like I was graduating from high school, going to the party, getting another kid to smoke a joint with him that evening, having to go back to him a year later and tell him, I'm sorry, because I didn't know where he was, and I found him a year later after coming home from college. And I said, I'm sorry, I smoked that pot with you in that day, and I'm apologizing right now because I got saved. He said, I didn't know. I said, I was. I said, can I tell you about it? Yes, he got saved that day. Was it, we said, wow, that's great. It was terrible. But God is great. It was awful. But God is great. Grace much more abounds every single time because God took into account your mess before He saved you. And if He hadn't, we would have all been lost because He knew we'd mess up. You will mess up. Now, the key is this. Stop it. Stop it. And don't feel like a wretch. Feel like a human. Don't feel like a wretch so much as you should feel like a child of God trying to get it right. Craig and I were out doing some cutting after on the tree in our backyard. After that ice storm we had a couple years ago, 2 years ago now, I think. And he cut the wire on it was an electric chainsaw, and he cut the wire. When I was a little kid, I think I told this story at the time, but when I was a little kid, if I'd have done something like that, my dad would have blown me through the wall. Ah! What are you doing, you idiot? Or some such. I'd have been made to feel like bad. But because God's given me a new heart, I'm just like, I don't know, man. That's too bad. Are you all right? God gave me a new heart. Years ago, I might have yelled at Him. Being the old man, I wasn't quite there yet. I'm getting there now. Now I'm the old man. Now I know why they call me the old man. I'm going to stop now. But what he's saying is it's impossible to have H, 2, and O and get gasoline. What is possible is if God's illuminated you, and that you have to answer. If God has made you a partaker of His Holy Spirit, you have to answer. Because if those two truths are not there, then you need to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. If He has not regenerated you, then this is not your truth. But if you have been child of God, you know you've been born again, it's yours forever. And it is impossible to fall away. The word if they fall away is not subjunctive. It's not a possibility. It's not the word if. It's the word and in the Greek. And they fall away. It is impossible for these three things to exist. Seeing that would mean they would have to openly crucify the Lord God again to all these things and bring Him to an open shed. And He says, but we are persuaded better things of you, brethren. What is the better thing? Things that accompany salvation. Now, here's the thing. And I want to kind of leave you with this. There's a lot more I could tell you about the rest of the chapter. But He tells us we have a strong hope, a strong consolation, and we have a strong forerunner. Jesus has taken our hope on His anchor, our anchor of our hope, put it on His little tugboat, and He's driven it right in behind the veil, and He's pulling us on in. Now, beloved, if you feel like you've messed up this year, I want you to remember that if there's flashes in the pan of God's evident mercy and blessing in your life, it is the joy of the Lord that is always our strength. If He's ever smiled on anything you've done for Him this past year, that is an encouragement and a token from Him. Now, here's the thing. Partakers of the Holy Spirit, illuminated by God, if the message makes sense, if there's no skewing, then you're okay. It'll be all right. The war has been won. And I want to just encourage you this morning to realize what He wants from you and me is that we would show forth diligence in our faith. That means haste, and it's in the passage. And He wants us to step up and become lit up again for God. The reason that the Hebrews were laying down was because they had a problem with the doctrine of Christ. They were struggling with it. And if you're struggling in your salvation right now, it's probably because you have a problem with the doctrine of Jesus. The heart of the problem is usually the heart. And so you have to revisit it. And you have to ask yourself, have I been to the foot of Calvary? Have I trusted a sufficient and complete Savior who paid it all for me? And if I come to the conclusion that I've been there, I know Him, and I know whom I believe it, then we can say with Paul that I am persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul said, I know whom I believe, and I'm therefore persuaded He's able to keep what I've committed. Now, we're still on the threshold of a new year. Between now and the rest of this year and beginning of next year, make up your mind that God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar, and the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. That means today you can start all over. You can say, I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to step up. I'm going to stand out. I'm going to be a Christian for God. And when I mess up, I'm going to apologize to the right appropriate people, whether it be me and God privately, or I'm going to apologize to people on the basis of my relationship with God. I'm going to make my salvation known. I'm going to make myself accountable. And I'm going to let God begin to do the conforming He left off doing when I walked away some weeks, months, or even years ago. I'm going to rejoin God on the journey because He is committed to conforming you to the image of Christ. The Bible says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. unto good works, not because of good works. You and I need to take on the disposition of Jesus. And so I challenge you this morning, if you've lost some battles and you've struggled in some areas of your own personal identity in Christ, that you need to get on your face, get your short list out and say, God, here's this, this, and this, and this, and I'm sorry, and I'll talk to so-and-so, and I want to just rekindle this flame you once had alive in me. Would you bow with me for a moment? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.